The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
No way, Jose!
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jets is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Dump. I have a nice little surprise for you guys. I have in the chat here, Robin is a brat. What up, faggots, is what she has to say for you guys. What up, my fellow faggots? Let's bring in, here's my little surprise for y'all. Here's Austin, which
What's
is
up,
weird because I let you know we were doing it, but I gave never gave you time. You never, I assumed you'd respond or something and be like, sure. Or, and then I'd be like, oh, send you over. I mean, you have access to the StreamYard link. So for those who don't get it, me and him run a show together. So he's able to just hop into the StreamYard without getting the link. So I was surprised to see him show up. but me and you tonight, we have Sam Tripoli on. It's a little bit later than normal. So from our Eastern timeline people, this is going to be a little bit rough. It'll be about 10:30 Eastern. Luckily, I kind of lucked up. I don't know to what extent I've told you, Austin, what's going on, like with this show and my current situation, but like, I'm like, I've gone part-time now to where I work like essentially like 2 days a week, and the rest I'm just carting my wife around because her seizures started kicking back up. I think we've talked about it a little bit, but I'm right. Essentially her chauffeur and a kind of part-time, so I'm doing more of these now. But it just so happened, so it's usually Mondays and Tuesdays that are my openings to when like I can work and do my actual job, as opposed to just being a stay-at-home mom slash drive my wife to and from work. But just so happened these days, I didn't have work. So they're like, cause it still is kind of like, you know, if there's work available, there wasn't today and tomorrow. So it sucks in a money sense, but so far as having Sam on tonight, ideal. Cause I was not looking forward to having to like stay up so late and then work the next day. But, it works out too. Cause then I have today. So now I was able to squeeze in another morning stream, the Morning Dump, which is the morning episodes I've been doing now. Like I said, I've been doing like 3 a week or more because where I went part-time now, there's like a period of time where I have extra time in the morning. So I am doing these morning streams. But normally it's only Wednesday through Friday, but every now and then on a Monday and Tuesday, I might be able to get in here depending on what my actual real world work schedule looks like. And today there was none. And tomorrow as well. So it works out well. So I'll probably have a morning stream for you guys tomorrow as well. So it looks like we're getting 5 a week. You game 5 this week is what it looks like. So, but I have Austin with me today. I just wanted to, I mean, it worked out. I was doing it because that way I can kind of promote the Tripoli episode tonight a little bit more. So that'll be cool having Sam on.
Hell yeah, bro.
But yeah, I don't know if you're familiar yet, Austin, with the format that I'm doing in these morning shows. These are would be, if you do have, I don't know what your schedule typically looks like, But like with me doing these like three a week, I figured maybe about one a week or so I'd have guests jump in, and I have. I had Radix joined me last week. What was it on? I believe it was on Friday. I had internet issues, so I was actually only able to do one morning stream last week. No, seriously, my router just completely shit the bed at like the same time 2 days in a row. And I don't know what it was for. I attributed it to the probably like maybe like leftover stuff from the hurricane stuff, because like there was so many down lines and stuff. And so the reason why I say that is because it was during the middle of the day. I'm assuming they probably still had some work that needed to be done. Maybe they knew they had to take down lines. And so there was like a period of time. They're like, well, do it during the daytime hours. Because fuck anyone who needs the internet during the day.
Exactly.
But that's whatever. Cool. I guess if you're going to do it. But anyways, point being is I had Radix on last week. The week before that, I had had the lectern guy on. But probably semi-regularly having a guest jump in with you. But basically the format here is that I created a bookmark folder where I just kind of bookmark things that I want to get back to later, like research, whether it's articles, threads, clips, whatever. And this is the spot where I'm then, you know, later raw. I have most of the time, depending on what it is, I may have looked over it prior, but generally speaking, it's gonna be stuff I'm fairly raw, really haven't fleshed out. So this is more of like a research space that we're in right now, where it's like we're going over things, we're kind of developing our ideas in real time. So I don't want to hear people later be like, oh, this is so and so's take. Like, literally, I just read it. You were getting the most freshest of take from me. For the most part, usually. I have a few different things today that I brought with us. I have a couple articles, some threads. This one's a little bit more disparate all over the place. Most of the focus here is going to be probably talking a lot about Matt Gaetz, because I got to end how this weirdly ties into Israel and how this ties into the Proud Boys. I'll bring you along with me. You'll get where I'm.
Come down for the ride, buddy.
In.
I'm tired.
But I do
anyway.
Real quick before we get into, and you can stick around as long as you want, leave whenever, you don't have to stick around. I mean, I'm probably going to end up only doing like an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but yeah, you don't have to stick around. But point being is, me and you are literally just going to bring up a few self-prepared articles. In the future, if you come on, you'll have to bring some of your own stuff. I'm sure there's some article you have somewhere saved that you're like, oh, I mean to get around to it at some point. We can literally go over it together, kind of have our, you know, immediate thoughts then.
Right.
In the future, this would be kind of a perfect little hangout spot for me and you. So if you ever are available around these hours, usually I do it like an hour earlier than now. So I know you're on the other coast. So just letting you know. I know
as long
really,
as I know,
really
like,
for you.
The night before or something. That way I can just kind of be prepared for it. That's basically all.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, we'll have to do something like this again in the future. And then that way we can both have our own prepared things. But I think we have enough for today. Just a little housekeeping too. A couple housekeeping things I do. As I said earlier, we have Tripoli on tonight on Already Dead. That is the show that me and Austin put out together. That is our, you know, that's our, that goes out to both of our platforms. That's my point. So we will have Sam Tripoli live at 10:30 Eastern. That would be, was that 7:30 your time?
7:30 Pacific time. Yeah. Yep.
So if I highly recommend you show up. This is, like I said, it's live, and the format of Already Dead, if for some reason you don't watch Already Dead and you watch these morning streams and you're not familiar with it, we kind of shoot the shit the first 45 minutes to an hour, and the second half of the show is the call-in portion, where we then start going to the chat. So we will refer to you guys and see what you guys are saying in the chat. That will kind of generate conversation for us. You guys can ask questions. There's also a call-in. We give you a number. The drawback of the call-in is you can only talk to me back and forth. Like, the other people can hear you, like Sam and Austin will be able to hear you, but you won't be able to hear them. So it'll just have to be some sort of quick question if you do a call-in. But the creme de la creme is the StreamYard link. You can become a talking head just like me and Austin are right now. On tonight. You can actually do that tonight on our episode with Tripoli. In the second half of the episode, if you are a patron of me or Austin, you get a StreamYard link, which means assuming you have a working internet and some sort of camera or audio, and actually, I think you can even do just audio. Like, there's a way to just connect audio. Most people these days, a lot of people are familiar with StreamYard, Zoom, whatever. you get the link. If you're a financial supporter of me or Austin, I haven't made the link yet. I'm going to make it after this show. So keep an eye out for that, patrons, but the link will go out so that you guys can join in the second half of the show tonight and you can come on, you can shoot the shit with me, Austin, and Sam Tripoli. You can ask whatever questions you have. And that is for, I don't know what you're selling it for on your end of things, Austin, but for my side, it's $2. So that's
I think
the
$2 it's only a dollar more. I think I only have like one, I don't know. I need to figure out the
undercut threshold. Austin and buy mine.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? Like, I need to figure that out because that's probably not good for me. But I should at least be the same price. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I could raise it if you want.
It's all good.
We can be a cartel here.
Right. I need to figure out. I need to spend more time with my Patreon and get a little bit more going as far as guest incentives or patron incentives and things of that nature. But yeah.
Either way, we get the StreamYard link. The point being, if you guys want to, and really, I think if you're some sort of up and comer, or you're just even another show, even if you're bigger than our show or my show, or whatever, like this would be a smart individual that would use this as a chance to hop on and shoot the shit with Sam. You know, just saying, like I say, if this wasn't my show, I would probably pay $2 just for the opportunity to be able to go on and go, hey, Sam, I'm so-and-so from whatever podcast. You should totally come on mine. Let me tell you about this story. This is something I've been covering. Like, because it's a perfect way to promote your shit. As long as you aren't just coming on just to literally do a plug. If you have if you have something to bring us, I mean, what you bring to the table determines how long before we're like, all right, man, it's probably time to bring on somebody else. So just throwing that out there. That's an idea out there for you guys. So it should be fun time. I'm looking forward to it. But one last thing, and then we'll move into the actual content portion of this. I do want to remind you guys that today's episode was brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of that razor burn, the irritation, the ingrown hairs caused by the deep penetrating multi-blade cartridges, then this is the way to go. Go back to traditional shave. You don't need that expensive bullshit. You can shave just like your grandpa used to, just whether you're shaving your whole face or edging up your beard. The single blades give you a barber-grade shave for a fraction of the price. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. That's $75 to shave for an entire year. But let's be real. That's probably going to last you a lot longer depending on how frequently you shave. For me, I've had this for, I don't know, probably at least a year now, and I've barely even made a dent into it. Now, you compare that to the multi-blade bullshit, it's silly not to. But now, if you're someone who shaves on the regular, I would highly recommend the Quarter Shave Club. If you're shaving every single day, that box of 100 may not cut it for you for the year. And at that rate, it puts you at about the 25 cents per replacement blade. He's also got shave lathers, got a 3-in-1 body hair and face soap. I highly recommend that. I really liked how that smelled. It's a COVID mandate refusing company. This company was literally born out of refusing the mandate. That's how it was created. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off your order. All right, guys, let's get into it. Let's check in with the chat real quick before we keep moving. Got some good morning. ¿Qué pasó? Jose about to need an OnlyFans. Yeah, for real. Will Plummer be here? Will Christians need to vote again? Next time, oh yeah, this guy had an argument with some other guy in the chat last time. What's up, retards? What's up, Teach? Don't be gay for McVeigh, for our regular Uncle Ted. Deep and penetrating, refusing a mandate. Oh my God. Hi, Carl. Hey, yo. All right, I'm not going to read all of them. But there we go, guys. Yep, that is all of you. But yeah, as I have Austin here with me today, my co-host on Already Dead. And he also has his underclass podcast for if you guys are living under a rock. But let's go ahead and get, you know what? Let's get this one out of the way real quick. I was gonna go into the Matt Gaetz stuff, but we'll go into that as like after because I want to get this out of the way because I don't have as much here for this one. Give me a second, Alex. There we go. Okie dokie. All right, we got to see here from David Sachs. President Trump won a clear mandate to end the war in Ukraine. So what does Biden do in his final 2 months in office? Massively escalated. Is his goal to hand Trump the worst situation possible? And the headline he has clipped here is Biden allows Ukraine to strike Russia with long-range U.S. missiles. With 2 months left in office, the president for the first time authorized Ukrainian military to use the system known as ATACMS to help defend its forces in the Kursk region of Russia. Now, here's a three-minute-long video. This was relevant. This is something Putin said a while back. I might actually have to read it for you guys. Yep. Actually, I'll read it for you guys. My bad. In recent days, we have seen and heard very high-level discussions in the UK and the USA about the Kyiv regime being able to strike deep into Russian territory with the long-range Western weapons, and it appears that this decision is either about to be taken or apparently has already been taken at all. And this thing, all right, I'm not reading all this. This is annoying to read it like this. But the long and short of it is in this thing, you guys can go check it out yourself. This is from Alexandros Marinos. He's really, I've seen a lot of good stuff come from him. So you can follow him. You can find that tweet if you really, really want to watch it. I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing to you because that'd be a pain in the ass. But I've seen this clip before, and in this clip, it's essentially him just saying that he would, this specific act that's happening right here, that Biden is doing essentially, allowing to use the long-range U.S. missiles, is he had already said before that he would consider this as like the literally that is above beyond the line essentially. Because right. We've been cross, really, really pushing it close to that line of like, well, are we considered we part of this war or are we not? Like, so to him, he's already defined this as this is the the lexicon, the crossing the Rubicon moment of like, you are now in war with us. And right. He made a point to clarify that means that this would be an act that he would see essentially nuclear being on the table in this situation. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know your thoughts, Austin. I mean, I just felt like we can got to at least bring it up.
Right. Yeah, it seems like it's been a red line. But if you remember, just it was probably a month or so ago, maybe even more, when I asked you on Already Dead, like, do you think they will essentially exploit Biden's ultimate lame duck session? Right, this moment in time where effectively they can kind of leverage his just inability to even be right. It's so clear and obvious, right? The let's say this emperor has no clothes moment of Biden clearly not being, the individual running the show. It's very obvious there's a cabal behind Biden who has been essentially, really pulling the strings along the way. And so the military industrial complex has really just really effectively gotten everything that they could ever desire when it comes to some of these international conflicts, specifically Ukraine. And so that was what I was expecting, was almost like this would potentially occur, especially during the time between Trump's official takeover, allegedly, of the executive branch. But I do think that Ukraine is the one that Trump will be able to wind down and get out of, in the end, inevitably. But as I said before, I think that's because the pivot will really take place and the focus will primarily be on war with Iran and finishing what's happening in Gaza, whatever that looks like.
I don't think they're going to get their Ukrainian war. I do think this is, whatever powers that be of a previous establishment, I do think there's got to be some sort of divide, obviously, between this incoming group and the past group, and a real one, not so much. To some extent, I think there's kayfabe and some of it's real. I think there is some real, and it seems to be this is kind of the weak last grasp of like maybe
dying screams
can trick them into it. I mean, like, obviously this is really bad and that could, but I do think that the people over over in Russia, the people that are making these decisions of how to react to these sort of things, I think they realize what the political situation is too. They realize that, like, I guess maybe there is something. Obviously, like, if Biden all of a sudden just literally launched a actual attack against Russia, maybe you could get some them to be like, all right, we'll bite now. But, like, aside from that, I really feel like that Russia would probably have enough of common sense to just be like, hey, this is them trying to start shit. Like, they're literally trying to hand off a problem to the next administration.
Exactly.
So why would we take that bite as opposed to we can just wait it out and then we'll be what we want. So
Yeah. Especially since I saw a report saying, I mean, really just hinting toward the implication was that both Putin and Trump's administration were already in negotiations and at least back channel talks with an understanding being right. The understanding being that this is going to be just, I would say they are winding down Ukraine. So this conflict will end. I think that it will be one of the first things that Trump attempts to do with the new administration. So I think that it's a big win. It's just, yeah, unfortunately, I think it'll just serve as some sort of, you know, distraction for, the alternative conflicts that will be prioritized, but that doesn't mean that this isn't a win to some degree, right? We have to at least appreciate the fact.
Sorry, it's something you said just made me think of. I kind of wish I'd saved it. Maybe I'll have to find I should have bookmarked it because I know I saw it. There was a story going around. I mean, obviously, we're talking right now about kind of the Ukrainian stuff, and I really do think this is like a shit. We're just trying to cause problems for the next go. So I think this is kind of almost meaningless, although it is still scary that we have people in power trying to start shit. But on the other side, we had I saw some articles. The idea being is, I guess there were some meetings between the oncoming Trump administration and Iran, and I guess Elon literally like sat in on the meetings. And like, we've had discussions about like, what do we think about Elon? I still don't know. I mean, he can be whatever, but apparently there was lots of word that made it sound like it went well, and almost as if like on a like positive of like, and it almost, I'll have to find an article because the impression I got from that was that like the establishment people were almost irritated that he was stuck around, like almost as if like they're like, so we keep it short. Whereas like Elon was more like a, you know, trying to actually work things out. So I don't know, maybe there's something there.
I wonder what the terms are, because it usually always is like some sort of exploitative approach toward easing tensions with any sort of political enemy, especially on the grand chessboard of geopolitics. So I don't know. I mean, it's very, very possible. You know, I would just think, go ahead. Sorry, dude.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were like, I was about to say, let's pop in the chat, sit, check with these guys real quick. I got, hey guys from Apple Eater. Everyone's saying hi to each other. hi, Carl. Biden's going to get us in a war so they can push Trump out and give the presidency Kamala. I mean, I guess it is possible.
That'd be tough. I mean, I don't know.
It is theoretically possible we could get some sort of other deep event, but I really. My impression is that we're not, my feeling is that we're all deep evented out. I know you were on William's show, and wasn't he saying that he thought that there was going to be some sort of real big push against his whole administration or something?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Like, not just like in a political way, like in a real world way. I was like,
I know.
William's cool. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's right. I guess I wouldn't be blown away if that happened, but I just like, that's not my read of the situation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can see why someone would think that would be the case, but that's probably one of the only things that, I don't know. I'm not quite under that impression, but that's only, you know, you understand most of my opinions when it comes to the structure of power, I would say, but anyway. Yep.
Hi here. Good morning, all. Everyone's saying hi. The Poo Crew. That's, I think that's starting. Everyone's saying, I've heard a lot of Poo Crew. That we're calling these, because obviously the morning dump is a, if you haven't caught on, it's a play on words. It's also kind of the concept of like how in the morning you'll be sitting on your phone reading articles while you're taking a dump or whatever. I want to get a thumbnail at some point of some guy like sitting on a toilet with a newspaper. I think that would be the move. So if anyone out there wants to make a thumbnail with it's a classy looking guy on a on a toilet with a newspaper, let me know. Are we doing a World War III? Maybe. I mean, they're working on it. Morning, gang. Everyone's saying good morning, good morning. We dumping this morning, boys, from Demon Hunter Bear. For sure we is. Oh, by the way, I got a, I guess it's not a strike, it's a warning. I haven't even really gotten a chance to look into the specifics of what I did wrong.
What was it
but,
for?
Actually, I'll bring it up right now, the email. It's,
do
well,
you know
I'm
what
looking at my end.
What it was?
I got episode 241, but the problem is obviously that's not, it's going to be removed because, it gave me the, it gave me a time too, at a minute 33 and 44 seconds. My Jake Chansley, that's the American Shaman guy, and
oh,
Jake Rink,
wow,
the filmmaker. So like
oh,
that,
wow.
So it was, I don't know what we were talking about. So at a minute 33 and 44 seconds, it says that we think your content didn't follow our policy on harmful conspiracy theories. Content that promotes, glorifies, or incites acts of violence through harmful conspiracy theories, mm-hmm, which have been linked to direct threats or violent acts, isn't allowed on YouTube. all right. I'm kind of curious what that is. I'm going to see if I can bring it up, actually.
That's crazy.
And see if it'll let me do it while I'm on YouTube. Whatever.
Yeah, I got to get my Rumble going because I am concerned that that is going to happen to me at some point.
Yeah.
Especially with just how many warnings I have received already. You know what, yeah, I mean?
Yeah, we got Singing the Pooh Blues. Yep. Thoughts on Jacob Chansley? I don't really have strong thoughts either way. I've interacted with him. I think I've had
that's
him on the show
QAnon
twice.
Shaman, right?
Yeah, that's the QAnon Shaman. Yeah, that was the episode that just got taken down, was the QAnon, mm-hmm, Shaman and Jason Rink, who was like a film January 6th filmmaker guy. Mm-hmm. I've had him on a few times too. He also met with Ye. Like he had like somehow weirdly linked up with Ye. It was like his drive to the airport with that like Alex Jones thing or something. It was weird. How the hell do you get a strike? But
yeah, what's
untouchable? To be fair, with tagging is not untouchable. We're like on our third or fourth YouTube,
but that's hilarious.
But we've adapted every time and put new safeguards in place on what we'd post. So for those who aren't aware, when it comes to Tower Gang, my offensive comedy podcast, the way we do it is we only keep up like the last one or two. And so like theoretically, I mean, Toad's really bad about deleting other content that gets put up there, like his other streams, or sometimes I stream this to there. But either way, the ideas are supposed to be only like one or two at a time. So theoretically, we couldn't ever get more than like two strikes at a time. Because we're deleting the content, so it no longer exists after that. But either way, yeah, like it is weird though. We have noticed, surprisingly though, is it does seem like political content or conspiracy content is far more likely to get hit than dropping an N-bomb, which said the N-bomb a million times. Like the stuff you think they'd be like, oh, they wouldn't. That's the kind of stuff you get hit for because it's such crude language. And you're like, no, it's when you like say anything that like threatens power. Really.
Yeah, that's really it. 100%, man.
That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. No one gives a shit if you say nigger.
Yeah, they don't.
Watch me get nuked for that.
Right. That'd be terrible.
Like, you fucking called our fucking blood, uh-huh, bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's I shouldn't have said that. Damn it. Now you're going to get me. Knock on wood. But, yeah, where were we at with that? Oh, yeah, I got a strike. So my point being is make sure you follow on Rumble. Rumble, 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 Rumble. Or also on Austin's YouTube. So, because, I mean, hell, for all I know, I might not be streaming a Tripoli on my YouTube tonight. We'll see. Because I got a warning. If I get one more, if I get a strike, then I can't stream for a week. So that is another thing for you guys out there who do like to catch my live streams. If I do get hit with a strike, then that does mean I literally won't be uploading to YouTube. So there always is that chance that you will straight up just miss content if you're only a YouTube person. So you at the very least should back it up and be following on Rumble, because if I do get a strike, I just will act it. I'll just carry on as normal and just post things to Rumble instead of YouTube. So just letting you guys know. All right, let's get into one of the things I did. The main thing I wanted to talk about today, and here's a quote tweet from Ken to start off. He said, holy shit, the guy who wrote the Proud Boys 1776 manifesto is an Israeli intelligence asset.
Oh,
and here is this chick, Ailey Jane, and I'm going to play the video first, and then we'll go from there.
That was one of the things that I went to school for, is I was being groomed to be in intel agencies, which is also like part of my background with crypto. But Like, I did work at USS SOCOM, which is United States Special Operations. I worked at the State Department, right, all throughout college. I got sent to Jerusalem to learn Arabic so that I could be in the Middle East, right, and maybe be an informant, right? And what's super funny is while I was in Jerusalem, I actually snuck into Palestine, which was not allowed at all. And that was incredible.
Tell me about Jerusalem. That had to be interesting.
Or Jerusalem different. It was different. It was interesting. Okay, so I have a few aspects. Okay, so one.
I'm sorry. Well, first, why did you go to Jerusalem? Was that a college thing? Something
it was a college credits? Thing. It was the program that I was in to become a member of the feds, right, got me a grant to go there, right? So it was strictly everything that I mostly did in college was a single trajectory of working in an intel agency, which the U.S. has like 17, right, different intelligence agencies. You think of the FBI, CIA, but there's all these other ones that are underneath it that have their own specialty. So I was being trained. I keep saying groomed, but I was being trained to be ready upon graduation to sign up, go to D.C., do whatever I had to do to get into one of those intel agencies.
Because you're an analyst, right?
All right. That's a any cursory thoughts, my friend?
First of all, he's talking about his intelligence background being part of his background in crypto, starting from intelligence. That makes sense to me, especially with what's the name of the alleged name of the individual who founded Bitcoin?
it's not in Satoshi Nakamoto.
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Satoshi
what
Nakamoto.
Is that?
There you go.
Is that it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that, yeah, Satoshi Nakamoto. Okay, and that basically means like something intelligence. I can't remember. There's like an interesting translation. It clearly is an operation from the beginning in its infancy. I think crypto is very much sort of like that key peg within the digital framework of the totalitarian technocratic upcoming infrastructure, I would say. And I think that obviously the CBDCs are a huge factor involved in that new landscape. And I think that, there's no coincidence, that someone like this, right? Some individual who's on the path, right, to becoming some sort of infiltrating operative with intelligence support. Of course he would have a background in crypto from the context of intelligence. That makes the most sense to me. But other than that, seems to fit the playbook, but he's very much not a very impressive person, it seems. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, Soul Explorer says to Mossad, right, the Proud Boys no habos policy. No, I don't believe so. remember when Toad accidentally admitted he was fed? Yeah, all the time. I think about that. Right? It's like insane. Crypto juice, cryptos is astrology for bros. Plug
it
in my ears
away
while
Roseanne,
you pill us on crypto.
Like Roseanne and it's like quote tweeting Toad, dude. Like that was blowing me away, honestly.
I'm telling you, he's a fucking fed. That's why.
Hilarious to me.
All right. And then we also have Brad says two fucking fags. Don't know shit.
Hey,
fucking
man.
Mexicans. Yeah, no, you're correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to this thread. Some interesting details about the case involving former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg. This is where it connects into Matt Gaetz, from whom the allegations against Matt Gaetz originated. Now, this is the blackmail stuff, I believe, is what they refer to. And I think we'll kind of sort of come back to that in a little bit. But either way, this is Joel Greenberg, former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg. And then Greenberg, who 11-year sentence, now serving 11-year sentence for various public corruption crimes, that Greenberg guy, facilitated part of his embezzlement scheme through Government Blockchain Systems, LLC, a company he co-founded in July 2019 with then 22-year-old Samuel Arms. Okay, so the guy, the video we just watched is Samuel Arms. So just so you guys understand the thread here, we're not saying this guy is the Matt Gaetz one, but all right, we'll keep going. This will come back around to the Proud Boys as well. Arms had recently graduated from FSU, where he participated in a training program that included a stint in Jerusalem to learn Arabic so he could maybe be an informant in the Middle East. He described the program as having groomed him for intelligence roles with agencies like the CIA or FBI, a background he attributes to his involvement in cryptocurrency. The program aimed to prepare him to become a member of the Feds upon graduation, which is when he reportedly first met and became involved with Greenberg in 2018. Shortly after, in early 2019, Greenberg hired Arms to set up a Bitcoin operation at the Seminole County Tax Office, a venture that later became part of Greenberg's legal troubles. This operation, in part, contributed to the criminal crimes against Greenberg and, by extension, the allegations against Gates. These allegations, originating from Greenberg, who is known for his pattern of making fraudulent claims, comes as part of his bid to secure a reduced prison sentence. Here is Arms discussing it with Groomed. Yep, and we already watched that. The Greenberg case, however, isn't the only one Arms is tied to with potential for significant political fallout, particularly targeting those in the MAGA sphere. In the January 6th seditious conspiracy case against the Proud Boys, Arms was the author of what later became known as the 1776 Returns document. Prosecutors used the document to bolster their claims of the conspiracy's existence, despite lacking evidence that any of the defendants had ever read or ever opened it. So reprocess that. This guy, the guy we just showed you this video for, who's linked up to some other spooky dude who clearly did something to do with the Gates fucking scandal. This dude wrote what became known as the 1776 Returns document, which is what they used to claim that the Proud Boys were part of some January 6th conspiracy. Despite lacking any evidence that any of the defendants had ever read or even opened it, is what it said. So just process that all again. All right.
Right.
Arms later told the January 6th committee that he drafted the document as a result of his background at USF, where he participated in numerous wargaming exercises. According to Arms, this training, along with inspiration from a separate August 2020 publication by the Transition Integrity Project, led him to tinker with a Google document envisioning what could happen in a worst-case scenario. Arms then shared the document with Erica Flores, described as an interested friend and ally from the cryptocurrency world, who then sent it to Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio. While Arms denies any further involvement with the document after passing it to Flores, claiming she took his ideas as an inspiration, and her or some group of people then turned it into 1776 Returns. Flores testified to the January 6th committee that Arms was the sole author of 1776 Returns and had asked her to send it to Tarrio. Neither Arms nor Flores have faced criminal charges related to January 6th. So essentially, this guy made it, sent it to some other broad who was just an interested friend, ally from cryptocurrency world, as it says. So it's a chick who's not even, like, I guess, supposedly part of the Proud Boys or anything, who then sent it to Enrique Tarrio. And so that is what they use to...
A third-party intermediary plausible deniability? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yep.
That seems exactly like what they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one on this. Arms has also not been charged in connection with the Greenberg case. Court documents do not explicitly name him, but reference the other individual who, alongside Greenberg, managed the blockchain company through which part of Greenberg's criminal activities were conducted. The documents describe this individual's involvement as short-lived, ending after a September 2019 Orlando Sentinel article about government blockchain systems, the entity Greenberg co-founded with Arms in July 2019. In response to that publicity, Arms was removed from the entity. Wonder why. All right. Yeah. Okay, cool. So he's not charged in connection with the Greenberg case. Okay. All right. So they managed to keep him out of that one, even though I guess it did involve the company, but they said that was just mostly in Greenberg's account is what it looks like. Okay. Yeah. So pretty wild. Then this guy is also working with the guy who tried to get Gates is what it sounds like.
Oh my God, dude.
Wild. Yeah. And then it's connected to this Proud Boys. Yeah. All right. Any thoughts? I have more, but I just, you know, because there was a few other, yeah.
I mean, it seems exactly like the playbook, right? I'm not at all shocked.
Yeah, no,
I am very much under the impression that, yeah, I don't know how much of these organizations are organic or were naturally organized in the foundational aspect of it. I just think there's so much of a hidden hand involved with federal infiltration and just the leveraging and exploitation of individuals who wouldn't otherwise have committed certain crimes. And every single time that's the case. So this is perfectly within, the realm of possibility and very much plausible in my mind as likely the case that, of course, this, like I just said, it seems like they were attempting to achieve plausible deniability in some fashion while, kind of framing up this group and organization, which to me means there are definitely authentic aspects within the group. Otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary, to entirely frame them up on false charges and things of that nature and allude to them being effectively being a key perpetrator in January 6th. Is that what the notion is?
Oh, sorry, I was zoned out. I was looking while you were talking.
No, you're good. Is the notion... under the impression, the notion being that this organization was heavily involved as a key perpetrator in January 6th. Was the whole notion behind this? Is that what it was?
They were trying to push the idea that I'm sorry. I zoned out. I was setting up a tab. Say it again.
I'm just saying that it seems like some sort of attempt to achieve plausible deniability setting up this implication that the organization itself was a key perpetrator involved in January 6th.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Okay. It seemed pretty masterful is what it looked like to me. Now, exactly. All right, I was looking while you were talking because I was like thinking about it. I was like, I want to find – I was looking to see if I had any of my tabs up that went into the Greenberg thing. So here is – obviously this is from Matt Gaetz. So this is going to be a little bit his take on it. And I don't know. The bits I heard Candace talk about on her show recently, I think. And I thought this was what she's referring to, but I wasn't sure of the name, so I just wanted to look it up to be sure. There was, a trafficking charge applied to him, and then there was also this other side thing where, then Matt Gaetz claimed that these people actually went to his dad and blackmailed them to be like, hey, we'll make this go away, but for, I think it was, $5 million or something. Matt Gaetz apparently... he brought this up. I think it was on with Tucker. He literally named names on with Tucker. And then named names. And then somehow later, I guess I come to find, he literally said on camera hey, my dad later, went and talked to these people with a wire on, and those tapes are out there, and kind of was like, basically the FBI, release those tapes. They will show I was innocent. They'll show that they were trying to blackmail my dad or, to extort him to get rid of, to make this go away type deal. Which is kind of wild. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm the first person to believe a fucking politician's doing trafficking or something along those lines. But I don't know. It's pretty wild. And I guess something came out later that seemed to vindicate him. From my understanding, that this was bullshit. That they did actually have tapes that his dad had talked to this person or something along those lines. So I don't know. Maybe there's some angle I'm missing. But yeah, here's from the tweet. The committee's star witness, Joel Greenberg, is a felonious liar who involved others in his lies. This is from Matt Gaetz, by the way, for those listening. On July 10th, 2024, I provided the committee dispositive evidence of my innocence by producing a smoking gun contemporaneous jailhouse writing documenting the plot to frame me, which includes both Joel Greenberg and his victim. This was authenticated by former federal agents who interviewed the jailhouse informant who revealed the plot against me. This wasn't even the first or even second time Greenberg coordinated false smears of others in this manner. Greenberg was initially indicted for attempting to falsely smear a teacher at a local high school as a pedophile. Thereafter, he was separately found by federal law enforcement to have possessed child or CP that he intended to use to frame his own attorney.
Oh my God.
I mean, so obviously, take all that with a grain of salt of the guy being accused, but
that's
still
absolutely crazy.
Pretty fucking wild.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Shit.
This one just slipped under the radar.
Brother, that's a window into exactly what we've mentioned plenty of times, right? Just the strategy itself. That's insane to me.
Yeah, that is nuts, right? And as we, I think, I don't know if it was you or if it was on my morning stream. No, actually, this is something I was talking about with Radix, because it is like getting a read on Gates is hard. Mm-hmm. But he is apparently has no AIPAC money. But then it's also weird where I'm like, but then this is the guy who also carted out the Iranian angle for the assassination attempt. Right. And obviously, don't be wrong, like his thing was like, well, some intelligence agents told me, so I'm telling you. So like, it wasn't like he was even saying, I know this for certain. This is what I've been told, blah, blah, blah. So it's like he is just passing it on. But it is like it raises my eyebrows when you even just absolutely, really are just gullible enough to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to repeat with this because they told me to. Like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At the very least, he could be a tool, right?
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. Either way, interesting for sure. Right. And then I guess, now they also found this. Let me bring this up real quick. This was someone who... I thought this might be... Actually, stop sharing that. Let me bring up a different one. my bad. What was I looking for? All right, here we go. This guy right here. Now, we have, obviously, that I showed you the tweet earlier. Ken saying, holy shit, the guy who wrote the Proud Boys 1776 manifesto is an Israeli intelligence asset. And then we have, it's something. Now, look at this wrinkle. This is from somebody named Sean Bradley Witzman. I don't know much about him. He's a free-range journalist. He has almost 10,000 followers, so I don't know. Take that for what you will. But he posted this, and it's a tweet, it's an article that says, exclusive report, individuals who first opened doors on J6 identified remain uncharged, believed to be in Israel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So this was written by him, that Sean Bradley Witzman guy. Let me scroll through to see how long this is. Yeah, we can probably maybe make it through this real quick. See if this is any. I haven't read through this yet, so bear that in mind. The events of January 6th at the U.S. Capitol have been subject to intense scrutiny and debate, particularly regarding how demonstrators gained access to the building, competing narratives about who opened the Capitol's doors continue to propagate, often irrespective of the reality. However, the objective facts about various instances where doors were opened from the inside have been known for some time, with most of those responsible having been identified and charged with crimes by the DOJ. But the details of one of these instances, the first to occur at the Senate fire doors at approximately 2:16, less than 4 minutes after the initial violent breach, remained unknown to the public. After nearly 4 years of asking questions and seeking answers, we now know who opened the Senate fire doors near the parliamentarian's office, brothers Asher and Gil Daniels. We've also been able to track the large minority of majority of their movement in and around the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. However, there are still questions about why they have not been publicly identified or charged by the FBI, and the lack of transparency or evident interest from the DOJ does not help clarify matters. And what is now discovered about their identities, upbringing, network of associates, and current locations only deepen the mystery, a mystery further complicated by the noticeable absence of footage from the Senate fire door and other critical locations in the House Oversight Committee's Rumble archive. Here's Asher, says, a brother with purpose. Asher's life is anything but that of a stereotypical Trump supporter. According to his LinkedIn profile, he obtained 2 degrees, one in Near Eastern languages and cultures with a focus on Arabic, and another in marketing, both from Indiana University, Bloomington. He also studied abroad at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem from 2012 to 2013. In an August 6, 2020 piece, he wrote for the Jewish News Syndicate. He described his lifelong dream of becoming an Israeli citizen and detailing his career, which started with the American Israel with AIPAC, before transitioning to a role of the Technion Israel Institute of Technology. Where he was reportedly tasked with recruiting young engineers to Israel. All right, so just real quick, back up. I just want to, real quick, I do want to say, Ken did ask, well, right here, how were you looking for the identities? Sedition hunters would have used their facial recognition software to search the open internet. After the tip, I went and tracked their movements in and around the building on Rumble. Although they seemed to stay masked during most recorded situations, there were two wide-angle, high-definition photos of them that day that allowed for adequate comparison analysis. I've gathered much more source information than could be included in a single article. All right, point being is I'm only bringing that up to so you know. I mean, I guess you probably could look into more of the details yourself out there to how he's able to confirm this. I don't know. To some extent, we're taking his word for it. I'm not going to do all the work, all the video analysis and stuff. You can do that later. If come to find out that's bullshit, let me know. But as of now, this just sharing this information with you. All right. Anyways, to back up, assuming all that, somebody from APAC, somebody who was at one point with APAC, is one of the first people who opened the first doors on January 6th. So that's fun. After serving as the director of development for the Endowment of Middle East Truth in Washington, D.C., Asher explained he had delayed his move to Israel for long enough and was planning to park Capitol Hill and immigrate to Israel with Nefesh B. Nefesh. His LinkedIn indicates he left his position at EMET in June 2020, and by February 2021, he had taken up the role of assistant to the director of the World Zionist Organization. All right, where he presumably worked to enhance the impact of Zionist ideology
naturally
and activity in Jewish communities around the world. Asher's LinkedIn profile further shows he left that position in November 2021 to become a development associate at JNS before leaving to work on his master's thesis on the Abraham Accords.
Oh, my
That's
God.
What he did his master's thesis on.
This guy.
In his most recent opinion piece published on September 23rd, 2024, by JNS, Asher mentions returning to Tel Aviv after spending a year in London. He also states that he arrived in Israel as a citizen on a Rev Rosh Hashanah 2020. This article includes several criticisms of the Biden administration, but perhaps unsurprisingly omits any mention of his presence in Washington, D.C. on January 26, 2021. All right. Wow. That's a lot. And that's just one of two brothers. Anything?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. I don't know. I'm getting visions of the dancing Israelis going back to Israel and doing all the going on media tour. You know what I mean? Like, it honestly, it doesn't shock me at all. I wouldn't be surprised if those brothers probably did some media interviews themselves bragging about what they achieved on January 6th. Who knows? It seems like there's always that. Basically, I would say there's really no difference between some of these intelligence agencies. I think they cross-pollinate to such an extent that it's almost like, you know, it's almost like compartmentalizing it for plausible deniability, exactly that reason, you know, that so you have foreign intelligence assets involved. I mean, it makes sense because then if for any reason it ever did become exposed, you could then even allude to the fact, which I'm not saying they would ever, the media would ever portray Israel as the enemy, but I am saying that it has happened in the past where they could point to, oh, well, look at this foreign, this foreign asset. So therefore it was this international conspiracy, right? And clearly not some sort of domestic conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I think that provides enough, at least enough of a plausible narrative for the average person where they could just easily dismiss at face value and not dig much deeper into the reality of what happened at January 6th, just like 9/11 or whichever other, you know, mass casualty event or, you know, manufacturing crisis. So yeah. Seems par for the course.
Yeah, Gil's social media presence has been more active than his brother's in recent years, yet like Asher, personal information about him remains somewhat scarce. Public-facing posts on an alias Facebook profile show an abrupt transition from a boy who cherished his dog above all else in 2014 to becoming a full-fledged member of the IDF. with apparent involvement in recent military actions as recently as December 2023.
Wow, dude.
Yes. An IMDb page lists him as an actor from 2014 to 2016, known for roles in The Hudson Tribes, Madam Secretary, and The River, My Brother, Me. On April 27th, 2021, Gil appears in a video on the official Nefesh, Nefesh Facebook page, where he explains that he had just arrived in Tel Aviv with plans to enlist in the Israeli army, urging fellow Jews to come home, just as he did in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. It seems Gil has continued to follow his brother Asher's lead with a move to Israel after an involvement in the Capitol riot. A network of possibility. Here you go. Here's a picture of Asher and Gil conversing with another individual. I'm not sure which ones they are. Right, it's not uncommon for individuals involved in or encouraging riotous behavior on January 6th to have connections with various intelligence agencies or elements in the of the American military-industrial complex. Yeah, not uncommon at all, guys. However, it is unusual to find January 6th participants who have Facebook friends at the, at the New York Times and various other less than conservative organizations. Even rarer is a January 6th participant whose friend, a former CIA analyst, wrote an article for the LA Times comparing QAnon followers to Islamic terrorists. Surprising to learn that his friend, Brent Giannotta, lists on his Facebook that he is currently working for Harris/Walls for America.
This is ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
You'll have to send this to the DM, honestly, to the group chat, because
Asher and Gil hail from a significantly different background than most Americans. They were raised in an affluent household in Stamford, Connecticut, received education at elite institutions, spent many years preparing for life in Israel, all while under the watchful eye of an extremely well-connected list of individuals. With their background in Arabic studies and acting alongside associations with various Israeli NGOs, it's not far-fetched to speculate that they might have been groomed for intelligence roles. Moreover, the fact that they have managed to avoid arrest while abroad, with Asher continuing his studies at a prestigious university in London and Gil joining the IDF's Soldier Program, does little to dispel these suspicions. In preparation of the story, we made attempts to contact Asher and Gil, along with multiple family members and associates, seeking explanations that might dispel any unnecessary conspiratorial thinking. Perhaps unsurprisingly, all but one childhood classmate has so far ignored requests for comment or information.
I'd like to know what university. That's so crazy to me, man.
This is wild.
All I know is it makes a lot of sense that this, like I mentioned, cross-pollination, there's so many different aspects of intelligence operatives and the as far as the playbook of infiltration, right, into different useful, you know, positions that I think provide prominent influence for the intelligence community. And I think that they kind of exploit that as often as possible. And, you know, I've never been more sure of that than recently, since I've been going back through Mockingbird, right? And just the scope of that alone. But anyway, not at all surprised. This is really an extraordinary story, I think, honestly, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd like to see more people follow up on this. I mean, Ken just got word of this, so maybe he'll link this up with some of his other work, because it is like, this seems like this could be pretty fucking huge, assuming... I mean, it seems like a lot of work, since there's a lot of like video analysis and stuff to verify if this is legit. But if this is legit, this is, I mean, it's technically not a smoking gun, but it's like the gun's so damn hot, it may as well be smoking, you know? All right, here we go. DOJ missing in action. When I was charged by the DOJ in April 2021, I found it odd that they excluded information about the parliamentary fire door being opened from the inside. Oh, is this who? Real quick, what did I say this guy's name was? This guy is. Oh, I thought maybe it was somebody else for a second. My bad. I was thinking maybe I. All right, cool. Because this guy's saying he was charged. So I was. All right. During my initial voluntary interview with FBI agents in January 2021, I mentioned this moment and explained how that was where I initially entered the Capitol. As my case dragged on into 2022, and I eventually pled guilty to the Class B misdemeanor of picketing and parading, I remained baffled as to why the entrance was not included in any DOJ filing in my case, neither in the statement of facts nor in the discovery presented to me, nor even in the AUSA memorandum used against me at sentencing. I even brought this up to Judge Hogan during my sentencing hearing, where the response was essentially a collective shrug. Answers continued to elude me as another year passed, but a nagging question remained. Who were these two men who entered so quickly after the initial breach, made a beeline for the Senate fire doors, opened them while encouraging the crowd to move in, and then quickly left as though that phase of their mission had been accomplished?
Oh my gosh.
I continue to wonder why the DOJ seemed so disinterested in what I had told them for nearly 2 years. Unbeknownst to me at the time, I was not alone in my frustration. According to an associate of Sedition Hunters with whom I've developed a cordial relationship based on factual analysis of the day, the DOJ was provided with their identities in early 2022, but they have no solid answers as to why they've not been charged or faced extradition. We have identified hundreds of insiders. Most won't be arrested because it's not a priority, especially right now, they explained. Seems like it would be a priority to apprehend people who were the first to open a door from the inside. No, I responded, to which the reply was even more troubling. I agree. Do with it what you want, because I don't think they'll be held accountable. So it remains unclear why they haven't been charged or publicly identified by federal authorities, or faced extradition for that matter. But when it comes to covering the unbiased truth of what happened on January 6, 2021, for public scrutiny, the DOJ continues to be largely missing in action. Yeah. All right, let's just go ahead and finish it out. We're basically done. Congressional failure and lingering mystery. While much of the public continues to believe that Republican Congress released the entirety of the surveillance video from the U.S. Capitol, this is absolutely not the case. As repeatedly pointed out by J6 pro se defendant William Pope, Speaker Johnson has been anything but transparent. Hundreds of hours of crucial video evidence continue to be withheld from the public. According to my Sedition Hunter source, they, Congress, have purposely left out chunks of video from January 6th. It's obvious they don't want it out before the election or something. It's really fucking suspect. Among the missing videos is the footage from camera 689 on J6, the camera that would show what transpired around the Daniel brothers' action of opening the Senate fire doors. However, as any seasoned J6 researcher will know, this is just the tip of the very large iceberg. And although various unofficially published clips of surveillance footage were once available on the Wayback Machine and open source Internet Archive, a cyber attack on October 8th, 2024, coming back full circle, we talked about this a lot, has rendered many of these files inaccessible, including the ones showing the Daniels brother opening the Senate fire doors. Wow.
Oh my God, wow. Jose.
That's what the hell, brother. Even as the Wayback Machine slowly begins to function again, the identity of whoever was responsible for the DDoS attack remains a mystery, just like the motives of the Daniel brothers on J6. The reason why the DOJ seems so interested in them and a multitude of unanswered questions about intelligence agency activity, both foreign and domestic, on J6. All right. Wow. That was a wild ride. And
that was, man.
All right. Especially there at the end. All right. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jesus, bro.
All right. Well, that's something. Let's see what is in the chat. Still think anti-civilian espionage is cool, kids. Yeah. Wild. This chat is the shit, everyone says. All right. Yeah. By the way, I do want to let you guys know for tonight, probably so far as like live chat, it'll likely only be super chats that get brought up. Assuming since we have Sam, it'll probably be more hopping with the call-ins and the stream yards. So, I mean, trying to keep up with the chat, it would be a nightmare. So if you want us to read something of yours, pay us money, on Rumble Rants or Rumble Chat, and or pay us money and you can come on as a stream yard, one of the faces next to us. So, yeah, but yeah, that was a lot. All right. One final note on, I guess it isn't even this. We're still in this like kind of this web of stuff, but we'll bring this back to the manifesto thingy. I just thought this was a sweet little bit of irony. Right here, let me see, right here. Oh crap! Nope. There we go. All right. Last year, this is from Ken again. Last year, I wrote about how Jeffrey Toobin made a mistake in the first paragraph of his OKC book, falsely saying the 1776 Returns Manifesto was written by the Proud Boys. Which obviously, like, we just broke down that wasn't written by the Proud Boys. It was written by somebody who was like, who gave it to somebody else who gave it to the Proud Boys. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, that guy glue like the sun, you know, as we broke down just a bit ago, and then his partner glue like the sun to the extent that it looks like he was trying to, you know, blackmail Gates is what it appears like. And it backfired. But I didn't know at the time that Toobin's mistake was covering for the Israelis, because obviously we laid out how this guy was an Israeli intelligence asset. So I don't know. I just thought that was a sweet little bit of irony. If you know the thesis of Jeffrey Toobin's Oklahoma City book, Oklahoma City bombing book, it's kind of the idea that like this is the way the right is going, and they're creating far more potential McVeighs, and it's like that kind of. And then I think I didn't read the book, but I think at the beginning he goes through all the different examples of things along these lines. So I guess he used 1776 returns, that manifesto, as like wanted to uphold his argument. And the irony here is that was literally some fucking propaganda from the Israelis, is what it looks like. Which, if you understand, if you have a deep knowledge of the Oklahoma City bombing, what those the people like the Aryan Republican Army, what those people believed in, it is incredibly ironic to then make a book about it, trying to be like, look at these racists, and then one of the examples is literally Israel.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
I don't know. It's sweet bit of irony for me. I guess that's parapolitical nerd irony for me that I found that to be, yeah. So, all right. Let's see. Infinite to do. Are they going to come believe me? Oh, they're arguing in the chat again, guys. All right. I only have a couple more things. I don't want to keep you up too long. We're going to finish out on some more Gates content. I have two more tabs left. Essentially, I have one that kind of makes me feel good about Gates again, and another one that then kind of is the counter attack here. All right, here is, I'm not going to say what type of government. It was a Jewish government, is what it says. Obviously, it's a joke. He doesn't say that at any point. But this is, I'm assuming this was recently. And this is Matt Gaetz and then Benny Johnson. But this kind of talk does make me feel a little bit encouraged about him and his prospects for coming in as the new attorney general.
This makes no sense. Like, this is protected. This makes no sense. Like, this is evil, right? Like, everyone agrees on it. It's like you got a 99%.
On Epstein, issue. Bill Barr is the one that needs to be called in to give sworn testimony on what happened there at Bureau of Prisons, because that is not,
it gets wilder.
That there's just no way that the story you're getting is the real story there. No freaking way. And Bill Barr knows it.
Most people believe that, right? Like, it's no way that's
I actually think that on Epstein, it was a foreign government that took him out. I don't think it was a domestic enterprise.
Really?
I do. I'm not going to say which one, but I don't think it was domestic inspired to take out of him. I think that was a foreign operation, government sponsored.
So foreign operation took out Epstein inside of our prison.
Yes.
So they would have must have been allowed to.
Oh, I think it was in concert with people in our government.
Wow.
But whoa, not in like some, you know, low level guard getting bribed kind of way.
Yeah.
At a state to state level.
Damn.
So
yep.
So that's probably a lot of partied interests in keeping that under wraps.
You better believe it. Weapon systems at play, global deals at play.
Interesting.
Holy
shit. You have evidence to back that up?
I just am positing it as a theory.
This makes no sense.
Right? That you see that and you go, that's all nuts, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe. Someone says, did Jose coin the term potential McVeighs? There's no way. That's totally been used.
Right.
Yeah. But all right. And then now we have that. And I'm going to give you the counterpoint here, which is a little bit of a bummer. Old Whitney Webb. Matt Gaetz, Trump's pick to be attorney general, argued against reevaluating Epstein's sweetheart deal. More recently, one of his closest associates have been actively lobbying to free Ghislaine Maxwell, claiming she and Epstein were patriots. See below. Okay, so keep in mind that's saying one of his... Go ahead.
I'm just like, I'm starting to think that there are basically rivaling sexual blackmail operations at play, but also potentially like capping the competition of your trafficking, you know, let's say if you are running a human trafficking operation, which of course this is, I'm just saying that, just think about this, you know, as some sort of, to me, I think that it's very much within the realm of possibility right? That
are you proposing that Peter Thiel has like a giant, gigantic, like infinite walk-in closet and it's nothing but Twinks, and that the gate is somehow integral to this this network?
I wouldn't at all be surprised. But no, it is. It does.
He just has them on hangers and just kind of spins them. Just like, right? Keeps going. I'll have
it's just
you.
Interesting, at least to consider that as a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. At the very least. So that's the only reason that I bring it up. But go ahead and keep going, because Whitney Webb, dude.
Yeah, I will say best, though, man. She's saying one of his closest associates have been actively lobbying to free Ghislaine Maxwell. So I don't know what to make of that. I mean, it's just someone he knows. I guess this is the guy. Actually, let's look at the quote tweet here real quick, just to kind of give us more context. What was quote tweeted in 2019, before Epstein was arrested, Matt Gaetz said that Epstein's sweetheart deal from Alex Acosta should not be reexamined, arguing that it would be dangerous to do so. Okay,
well, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he says, so in here, in an interview with Miami Herald on Wednesday, Gaetz said re-examining Acosta's handling of Epstein's case, which came under increased scrutiny after Herald's three-part series Perversion of Justice, sets a dangerous precedent for prosecutors. Okay, which, I mean, to be fair, that is something you would say if one of your people could get fucked in this. And you're like, oh, this would be dangerous. This is, we have foreign entanglements. It's almost as if there was a founder that said something about that. okay, so let's continue with Whitney's. Chuck Johnson is close to Gaetz. Gaetz even invited him as his guest to the State of the Union. Johnson is also a close friend of Peter Thiel, who met with Epstein several times and CIA contractor back there, William Carbine 911 with Epstein. And Johnson connected Thiel with the FBI, leading Thiel to become an FBI informant. Below follows Johnson's views on Maxwell and Epstein. All right, let's go to this. This is an old tweet from June 30th. Stuff may come up on my relationship with law enforcement as concerns Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. I want to say emphatically that Jeffrey Epstein died in the service of our country and that I believe Maxwell ought to be released.
Oh my God.
Which is wild. But, you know, once again, if you kind of put these two pieces that we had together and what Gaetz was just saying in the previous thing, is kind of like there is a way for this to be kind of true. That may not be wrong. Yeah, I mean, the ought to be released. Obviously, I disagree with him. The ought to be released, but he may have died in the service of our country. I don't know if I necessarily disagree with that. Like, why
I agree with that because I, at the very least, I think that people need to understand the longstanding approach of the intelligence community in terms of sexual blackmail, and as we've talked about many times, right? Like, they had a division. Specifically prioritizing, it was a sex division, all right? And they were infiltrating local police departments all over the nation, and they were running sexual blackmail operations using...
Real quick, we have Ken in here saying Chuck Johnson is not a close associate to Gaetz. So I don't know what the fuck she's on about. I don't know. That's I don't know nothing. I don't know shit about this guy, really. I mean, I saw this... And I'm just going off of what fucking Whitney's saying, but it's like, it's wild. Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting thought to have, all this. He seems to try to make some connection here. You see, you should understand Epstein is working for the U.S. toward the end of his life, which is why Bill Barr had him killed. And he said, you're not allowed to talk about how close the Trump government was to the Sinaloa cartel. So I'm like, I don't know what angle he's trying to make here. I mean, maybe there's some piece of the puzzle we're missing that he...
Dude. There's always factions of organized crime involved with elite government interests, which is just elite special interest groups. That's all it really is. And so that, to me, I don't see that it's that there's ever been this, you know, separation of organized crime with elite, you know, politicians.
Did you see what I just highlighted?
Power brokers. What did it say? I can't see
another one of the ones you shared. Epstein conspiracists. Jeff Epstein was a good personal friend.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know who this guy is. What the fuck? But wild.
Oh, my God. Put these thoughts
out in there.
The bottom line being, though, that I do believe that there have been essentially an institutionalized effort to prop up various, whether it's the hooker referral pipeline at the DNC, or if it's some sort of Henry Vincent operation with Secret Service involved, right? With Craig Spence. I mean, they had direct, right? They had basically like Jimmy Savile type access to the White House, right? So they're taking midnight tours, remember, with call boys during the George Bush Senior administration. So the level of power in close relation to these various, you know, sexual blackmail operations and different hooker, you know, let's say just different prostitution networks and human trafficking networks. Not at all do I think that there is some sort of separation and there's not an, you know, institutional effort, especially coming from, you know, groups within, right, the intelligence community and the intelligence apparatus that are effectively just maintaining, you know, the viability of these networks so they can exploit them as often as need be. And they'll replace the madams if necessary. I've seen it happen. You know, it's kind of amazing. Yeah. But anyway.
All right, we got Ken here saying Chuck Johnson argues that Epstein flipped on the Israelis and was working for U.S. Patriots at the end of his career, which, yeah, okay, that wouldn't surprise me if he did one or did the other. Either way, it's still like...
Why wouldn't it just be a joint operation? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean it could be one, it could be the other, it could be the mix. I mean, I know who fucking knows. At the end of the day, I don't really care who was running it.
I know, right?
Like, if you're like, hey, I spent decades to get to infiltrate this super secret fucking... kid slinging operation so that way day I could theoretically get the really, really bad guy. And you're like, okay, dude, well, it sounds like you put a lot of time and effort into this.
Oh, no doubt. But the connections with these organizations to Iran-Contra, it all connects to the octopus. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are competing ambitions within the octopus itself, which is usually the case. But yeah, I just think that, you know, it very much seems like this is a cross-pollination when it comes to, you know, the intelligence aspects of these operations.
I got to say, so far, I mean, from all the stuff I'm seeing, I mean, I'm going to read, this is the last tweet we have, and we can talk about this, but I'm actually kind of a little bit, the more I dig into Gates, the more positive I feel about him. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still suspect of him. There's certain things I've had bad vibes, like it just felt too good to be true in some ways, and also certain things where he fell short that have made me suspicious. But, you know, I mean, while I like Whitney Webb, this is weak. It's based on this guy. Hey, Matt Gaetz supposedly knows this guy that's shitty or something. And then you're like, and then like in this last tweet that I'm reading now too, it's kind of the same thing. Johnson and All Right Personalities Report, the co-founder of Clearview AI, the Thiel-backed, which we can even just scrap all this. Like, who fucking cares? Because it's like, Johnson, this is like, why is he even relevant? He's not really. You're saying he's relevant because he knows, supposedly, is associated with Gates. According to Ken, they're really not that close. There's a picture of them in a car together. That's all we got. I don't know, maybe there's something other says they're closer, but I don't know. It's especially in these game of influence stuff, it's like there's so many people that have pictures of so many people and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like... Yep. Just because you see your two favorite celebrities together doesn't mean they're anything more than just acquaintances.
Completely compromised,
Or not even compromised. They may just literally see each other at events, and that's it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, cool. Hey, so and so, I saw you last year. You want to take a picture? Yeah, let's take a picture.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.
But we have our Gates' wife in the picture above is the sister of Palmer Luckey, which is more of what I'm getting at. The sister of Palmer Luckey, which I don't know, another Thiel protege. So Gates' wife is the sister of someone who is a protege of, so it's like, it's already weak.
It's loose for sure, but Jesus, that's crazy. Yeah. You know, like
does seem like he is linked in with, from my understanding, from the little bits I've heard in there, he is tied into some of the Thiel stuff. And the Thiel thing is like concerning, like what's going on here?
Very much so.
I'm not going to lie, but it is like, this just feels weak. I mean, I'll give you the sister thing's a stronger connection than the Johnson thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, who another Thiel project is building the Orwellian surveillance system, i.e. the virtual border wall on the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as DOD's Project Maven and semi and fully autonomous AI weapons,
yep.
With a Thiel-connected VP and Trump's own son now working for a Thiel-linked VC firm, the influence of Thiel, who built the company with the CIA that profiles Americans and decides if they might be domestic terrorists or not, a new iteration of the Trump administration should be deeply scrutinized. Yes, I will say technocracy is something that we need to be keeping an eye on going forward. Absolutely. Because that is where we're going to get butt-fucked, essentially. Because that is the power players are coming along. I will say they are a more... It is a more impressive group of elites, so that's cool. So I think it is, in a certain sense, this form of governance that we will be seeing, I do think is actually overall probably an improvement. But I do think this is something that actually from my early theory days, I said that I think you just need to be kind of keep moving the way you're moving. This is why things like agorism or the gray markets or like just keep moving towards what you want, essentially. If you want to be debt free, you want to have land, you want to have your own business, whatever, move that way. You still need to just keep a mindset of not being dependent on things, essentially. Absolutely. Like, try to set yourself up to be essentially have as many revenue streams as possible, to not be dependent on a corporation, not be dependent on whatever, to be more of an entrepreneur. Like, I think these, because I do think we're going to see a great bifurcation as the technocracy increases. So there will be people who do, you know, buy into the lull of the technocracy, the smart cities, the whatever, and that's fine. Those people can have that. It's just that you move towards your values and you will likely get more of that as well. So I think we're going to see a great bifurcation during the future. It's like you will have smart cities, but on the other hand, we have people who are living outside, you know, in areas that are probably just as fine. Yeah. Right. Let's check in the chat real quick, and then let's probably get out of here. These confirmation hearings are going to be a circus. Once again, we will see why these people achieve power in the first place. I am, especially more I'm digging the gates, I'm interested to see how this boils over when they start trying to confirm him. And I said, I think the wall is surveillance and containment psyop for sure. Good way to get Alex Jones to literally endorse a prison planet. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, all right, man. We're at like an hour and a half. I don't have any other thoughts. I figured we'd be a good time to go ahead and get out of here. We'll have to do this again some other time, and you can bring in some stuff, and I can bring
agreed,
in some
man.
Stuff.
I had fun.
Like, this is where I know we talked about Already Dead. This is where I've been like reading like the X dossier. This is where I've been like reading like the suspicious deaths. So anything like that too, just old archive things or articles or deep cuts.
More casual
or
kind of. Yeah, I enjoyed this because, you know, I'm always so preoccupied with prepping for things and having so much information at
my
disposal.
We're literally monetizing prep right now.
Yeah, 100%. I think this would be perfect.
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of like this, just having like a knee-jerk first instinctual reaction to certain stories. I think that's valuable as well. But other than that, make sure everybody tune in to tonight's episode, because it's gonna be fun, man. Like, we're gonna talk about some crazy shit. I'll tell you that much. And beyond that, I think I'm like, personally, I'm just very much grateful. You know, I have this theme within my soul at this moment of gratitude, you know, Thanksgiving right around the corner. But brother, it was you and Sam that I hit up a little over a year ago.
I didn't even think about that. It's
right.
Full circle. Yeah.
And it's coming full circle. My wife told me, she's like, it's legitimately 3 days within a year's time, exactly to the date that I went on Sam Tripley's Tinfoil Hat and did Ruby Ridge. So
hell yeah,
it's kind of surreal for me personally, but I love you, brother. Nothing but love for you, dog.
Yeah, and by the way, let us know what you want us to talk about today. I think I want to talk to him about Dutroux. I think Dutroux is
That would be a great thing. I definitely, there's one thing that I wanted to mention, mainly because he brought it up on Rogan, which was I have it somewhere here, but anyway, it was the that New Mexico compound where they were essentially manufacturing mass shooters. And I was like,
because he didn't make the connection to the Boston or not to the Boston bomber, but to the
93 World Trade Center.
It was a nightclub, right? It was a nightclub.
Yeah, the Pulse nightclub.
So he didn't make that connection, right? He just was like, oh, this is wild. So he didn't even know that connection. Yeah.
I thought it would be perfect to talk about that for just a
Which is wild how these connections keep popping up. Like, we literally just in that fucking episode or just in that episode, but then that article we were reading just a little bit ago, at the very end, just hit us right at the oh yeah, and this these were totally went down in the Wayback Machine. You're like, oh, exactly. Oh, okay, no way. It's weird. It's almost as if there was like a reason behind all that shit going down. By the way, exactly. Nicholas says when is already dead. That is tonight, 10:30 Eastern. If you're on the other side, like a fucking weirdo, like a Sam or Austin here, if you're on the other side of the country, that will be at 7:30 Pacific. But yeah, let people know where they can find you at. Obviously, you get your YouTube. That's where you can watch Already Dead or my YouTube.
The Underclass Podcast. Definitely check out my recent episode with William, part 2 of Mockingbird. I had a really good time. I think we're going to do another episode in December because I can't shut my mouth and we have too many notes.
Oh, yeah. We may have to, once again, another side note. We may have to do, there's another possibility. I may get somebody else for Thursday. I just hit him. I hadn't hit him yet. But we might have to finish or actually continue our Watergate series.
We'll have to at some point, dude. I'm losing my damn mind.
I'm going to have to hit somebody. There's somebody else I rescheduled with when I had all my shit going on not too long ago. So I'm going to try to see if they can do Thursday. If they can't, I'll hit them up today. And if they can't do it, I'll see if you want to do it. But either way, I will have something. I should have something for you guys in the for the paywall people. you know, for you guys here soon. I also will have on Friday my episode with Lena Ajit will be coming out. That was a fun talk.
Nice.
She's interesting feller. But did you get all your plugs out or did I accidentally step over?
No, I have. I think the last thing I should mention is basically just you can support me Best Place, Buzzsprout, and Patreon. And there's the perk where you can, like Jose said earlier, you can become a talking head and during the episodes with us and on Already Dead. But here shortly, I'll be adding some other, you know, legitimate tiers to, you know, my Patreon and Buzzsprout and hopefully add a few more incentives. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, awesome. Well, if you guys like what we're doing here and you want to support what I'm doing, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. The lowest level is $2. The highest level is my sponsors. I read them off every episode. The lowest level, though, what you get is you get those early episodes like that Lena Ajit. That's been out. I recorded that last Thursday, so that's coming out this coming Friday. So you'd have over a week. You could have watched that. I also have the Already Deads, as we've mentioned in this episode already a couple times. You can be a talking head alongside me and Austin, and you could do it with Sam tonight. That's at the $2 level. At the highest level is my sponsors. I read them off every episode. My co-host Toad, you can follow him at Tower Gang Toad. Then I have my co-host on Tower Gang. I also have at Abrogate Deeds, at @ZOVERACK, @_InfiniteZeal, Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy Podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle, at Jolly on Klebold, the homie. And then Will Bell with his delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. And then a big fan of the show, at Real Josh Elliott. And then Torin May, I appreciate you guys helping me do what I do. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. Make sure to be there tonight at 10:30. It'll be on Austin's Underclass YouTube, my No Way Jose YouTube, and my No Way Jose Rumble. Those are the places you can watch it. It'll go out to all of our audio platforms probably roughly the day after. But you definitely want to be there for the live experience. But with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Love you all. Bye-bye. Oh, real quick, last Pulse Nightclub has parallels with the OC, the Okoye riots, too. Both the largest amount of death in a single innocent on American soil between the Civil War and 9/11, both in Central Florida. Well, all right, guys, we're out of here. That was fun. We'll see you tonight. Bye-bye.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.